This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. And it is always a great day to be saving money, talking about sustainability, and discussing technology. Welcome to Energy Matters. I'm Tim Echols, your host. My co-host is always John Noel. John?
Excellent.
We're going to be talking about a lot of technology today. Got back in the studio, sitting in that third co-host chair, Dr. Jackie Tidwell. Hey.
Ooh, you've been upgraded, Jackie.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, if you come here enough, you're eventually going to be an honorary
co-host. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And then Patrick Ballard, another UGA guy. Patrick, the owner of Apex OmniSource, also retired from the U.S. Air Force. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Tim. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to talk about technology today, folks. And, you know, you may work at a company that has a parking garage or that has a big sign on the side of the building or that has a lot of lights. I mean, John, you make a living at this. I mean, you've got... You're heading to Memphis soon to this church that y'all are working with. John, tell us a little bit about how you help an organization or a church or a building know whether or not they need to make these kind of upgrades.
This is the business that he is in and the business that I am in are businesses that are helping people save money one way or the other. What I kind of like about what he's brought is that there's some new innovative technologies related to solar poles. I mean, that's kind of unusual. You can put a pole out there, put solar on it. But when you integrate that with wind, that's kind of cool. And so you can imagine a pole with a light fixture on it with a wind turbine at the top. And, all of a sudden you've got a solar panel on it and wind turbine and you're generating power, and that's kind of cool. So I think there's different things we could be talking about today, and I'd be interested to hear about a few of those, especially for somebody with an Athens-based business.
Yeah, and Dr. Tidwell, I mean, you've done a lot of study on solar, and we're going to get into what Patrick is doing, you know, but clearly helping people be able to experience the technology, benefit from it. I mean, that's important to you and your research.
It's extremely important. And being able to align, right, the right customer with the right technology, knowing when and where the combination solar and wind best fits with a community or with a person is really important. I imagine, Patrick, it's something that aligns well with your past experience in the Air Force, given their focus on sustainability and sustainability tech.
It does.
Go ahead, Patrick.
It does. And again, my name is Patrick Ballard. I'm a UGA alumni and a retired colonel from the Air Force and from the DOD side of the house. And we have a focus on the federal government at large. There are goals that the federal government agencies have to achieve certain renewable energy percentages. They're small, but they're incrementally gaining momentum. The agencies are doing actually a fairly good job at meeting those goals right now. So we're trying to move into the space to help them achieve those goals.
I might interject to my Republican friend Tim Echols that were enacted during the Clinton administration and were doubled down on and during the Obama administration. Continue, Patrick. My apologies.
Quite all right. So, I'm mission focused, being from the Air Force, and that's now part of their mission. And so, I'm looking to bring new cutting edge technologies like this, as well as you started to mention the smart parking deck product that we are working on into the federal government space that has kind of a smart city application to it. So where we can make the government more efficient and effective, and part of that could be the renewable energy and getting some things where it makes sense, getting items off grid where it's smart and cost effective.
Yeah, let's give our listeners a couple of examples on how you would do that. What would be the product that your company is promoting to to customers right now that best does that in the cheapest way?
Well, the lowest hanging fruit, as metaphorically speaking, is really that there are a lot of folks that can do this. My company can is partnered with Colite Technologies out of Columbia, South Carolina, and one of the easiest things that we can do with them is a LED retrofit. And so there's a lot of people in the space doing LED retrofit on their their street lights or their parking lot lights, but a unique customizable solution that Colite Technologies has that we are bringing to the federal government and state and local government, as well as commercial throughout the Southeast, is this solar or a hybrid solar plus wind turbine street lights, parking lot light. And for example, this is a totally off-grid customizable street light. It's architecturally pleasing. It's very attractive. There's a marketing piece to it where you can put any number of types of banners on it. There's also a very unique architectural feature where there's an arm that extends from the base. There's the main steel pole that's vertical, and then you have a curved pole that swings out from the base and crosses over towards the top of the light pole. And then you have the LED light at the end of that light.
And we're gonna put a photo of this up on Matters Radio so folks can kind of see what we're talking about.
And it creates this little crescent shape, kind of a sail. Looks like a sail, and you can put any number of things in it, whether it's a banner for advertisement, or it could be a metal fabricated custom logo. The possibilities are endless, and it's very attractive. So it kind of has a wow factor to it. It's architecturally.
So hold on, Patrick. We get that it's pretty, and we get that we can put advertising on it. What I think people need to get, if you're going to sell it, and I like this aspect of it, is that it is standalone. That it is, you're not hostage to the utility company.
It's
if
sustainable.
You own a lot,
that's right.
Right, sustainable. Ooh, Jackie, just love it. If you own a lot and you don't want to run power out to a place, you can put a standalone pole out there that's self-powered and lights itself. You're not hostage to the utility company who's going to put a pole in and charge you an arm and a leg for the next 100 years.
That's right.
You don't have to run it out there for electrician Bob and his brother, and it's going to cost you $5,000 and $4,000 for the pole installation. You can just do all this at one time.
Yeah. So, Patrick, so that product, you're finding the U.S. military is interested in that product for their bases or parking lots, in cities?
That's right. The one example is Tyndall Air Force Base was wiped out by Hurricane Michael, right? And I was recently on the phone with the contracting office that's responsible for the rebuild, and they are looking for solutions like this. They want to make Tyndall it's Panama City, Florida. They want to make Tyndall an example of how smart they can rebuild the city and the city. Well, it is a city, the base,
yeah.
and have some leading edge new technologies, be more renewable, sustainable in nature, and just have a better base experience for the Air Force there and the families and folks that work there.
I am seeing more and more gizmos with a solar panel on it, John. Mm-hmm. We put that donated panel you gave us, we stuck it on the Sapelo Pavilion that provided a light.
Yep.
I'm seeing it on street road signs, crosswalk signs.
But we're not seeing the wind aspect, which is what's unique about that product, and what I think we need to be doing more of is this micro wind stuff.
Well, and now that you mention it, there's not only a cost savings to it, but you're already kind of hinting on it a little bit. There's a smart technology that comes along with this. So with the power that you can generate from the both the wind and the solar, and then there's a solar-only version of this as well, but you're able to put any number of other accessories on it that makes the streetlight pole smart.
Meaning so you they can talk put, to one another.
Well, not...
Well, they tell you they're out?
Sort of.
They tell
sort
you
of.
They're
there
out?
Is there is the capability of having that that's onboard monitoring, but you can also put a security camera on it. You can put an emergency phone on it. You can put a Wi-Fi access point on it. Mm-hmm. So all of those low energy draw modules,
can all be hacked
you can
by
add
the Russians.
So it's a really highly customizable, very smart approach to a lighting solution. It becomes more than just a light.
Yeah, and I'm excited that you're doing this, John. I know you make trips to China all the time, getting products and in selling those products. But I don't want to underplay the importance of having the utility engaged in converting old lighting, street lights, parking lot lights, over to LED lights.
Yep.
And the utility, we know, will be in business for a very long time.
Yes.
We've had a number of...
Until we can figure out how to run them out of business.
We've had a number of energy companies, solar companies in Georgia go out of business. And if a company goes out of business and the product's not made anymore, well, it has to be torn down and something else put in its place. So there is, I think, a place for the utility in all of this. And certainly we don't regulate their lighting business. That's something that they do, you know, separate, you know, from their, you know, from their electricity sales. But I think it is important to have, you know, legacy companies involved with doing it, companies that, you know, that will be around. Let me ask you, just as we wrap up this segment, Patrick, what would be the second product that one of the second big product that you're pushing?
Well, one thing we're pulling together right now is we're putting together a team of vendors actually that is going to bring to our customers a smart parking deck solution. And this is we're really excited about. Bottom line is that if you go, let's say the VA Medical Center in Atlanta, they've got six or seven parking lots there. And if you're a service-disabled veteran trying to make your appointment, you have to account for the fact you may have 30 or 40 minutes trying to hunt for a parking spot just to make your appointment. A lot of those veterans will miss their appointment as a result of the parking situation.
Messing around in the parking lot.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we're bringing to the solution we're bringing is an LED sensor camera based
tells
system.
Tells you red or green on
that's
the
right. That's right.
Let's do this. Yeah. Let's keep this conversation going. Let's bring this back in the next segment. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about smart cities. I'm Tim Echols. You're listening to Energy Matters.
The electric car revolution is coming, and the choices are growing. GEM cars are everywhere. You've seen these low-speed electric vehicles on college campuses, downtown Atlanta streets, and resort islands like St. Simons and Jekyll. GEM cars are street legal, equipped with seatbelts, headlights, and a tag, and can operate on roads with speed limits of 35 miles per hour or less. If you want to know more about these electric cars and trucks, six-passenger shuttles, mobile repair service, or full vehicle wraps, go to GEMCarService.com. That's GEMCarService.com.
John, one of our sponsors for the show, Rowe Insulating Company, is doing a great job in and around Athens, being able to do a lot of what we talk about every single week on the show.
Every time it gets cold, every time it gets hot, it's always that attic that's the problem. And you could tack windows, and that's going to cost you a cold fortune. It is insulation that can solve the problem.
Hey, if you want to get this fixed, call 706-795-2854. That's 706-795-2854. Rowe Insulating Company.
Rowe. Support for Energy Matters comes from Arnold, Golden, and Gregory. AGG takes a business sensibility approach when advising clients. AGG provides industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We appreciate their weekly support of our little old Energy Matters.
We sure do, and we've got as always, John, a studio full of experts, a lot of brain power, bringing them through the studio of Energy Matters. Sitting over in the honorary co-host chair, along with John Noel, the voice you just heard, my regular co-host, I'm Tim Echols on the Public Service Commission. We've got Dr. Jackie Tidwell. Jackie, good to have you back.
Nice to be here.
And sitting in our guest chair today, Patrick Ballard. Patrick works for Apex OmniSource. He's a UGA grad. He's a retiree. How do you say that?
Retirees.
Retiree from the U.S. Air Force, 25 years as a colonel.
Yep, right? Retired in 2016.
Yeah, and as we wrapped up the last segment, I kind of teased this segment and said that we're going to talk about smart cities, because I think a lot of the material that you guys are selling, both Patrick, you and John, are involved with making cities smarter, right? It's using less energy. It's having more control. It's having more intelligence and these things being able to function properly. But a lot of our guests may not, or a lot of our audience may not know what a smart city is. So, Dr. Tidwell, why don't you give us a working definition of smart cities?
Yeah, when we talk about a smart city, most of the time what we're talking about is an urban area where we're using a lot of different sensors or software, different things that allow us to gather information about all the people and the resources and be able to make better decisions about how we use those resources. And when I talk about people, I'm talking about your phones, your watches, all of these things that communicate via that Internet of Things network.
Yes. So you think about John's car. John, you have a Tesla. Mm. Does that Tesla communicate with anybody as it's driving? Or
the mothership in California.
Yes.
Seriously. Oh, you mean right around. Well, that's the beauty of them. Eventually, the cars will all begin talking to one another, and my car, as others are, have that capability. So we'll start to talk, and we'll start to talk to the traffic lights. We might be talking through one of Patrick's pole lights here. I mean, it's all these Internet of Things, the IoT, as you'll see it referenced in all caps, that is the next wave that we're going to see in automation of cities.
So, Dr. Tidwell, communication is a part of a smart city upgrade, right?
The core of it, yes.
It's the backbone. Yeah, it's the infrastructure.
Exactly.
So having devices talk to each other. I know down on North Avenue, and you know, we record the show in Athens. We're not too fond of North Avenue at Georgia Tech, but that little corridor from Georgia Tech and the Coke World headquarters down to the Ponce City Market, that is the designated smart city corridor, the first one for Atlanta, right? You've been down there?
Yes, sir.
And some of the things that's going on down there, like infrared and infrared crosswalks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they know whether it's a person or an animal that's getting ready, right? Things like that.
Things like that. Moisture sensors, waste management detailing, knowing when certain receptacles need to be picked up. All those things go into
synchronizing the traffic lights
exactly.
for when emergency vehicles are coming through.
Yeah, the gunshot sensors. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a part of the smart city, right? Mm-hmm. Patrick, what are some of the other things that you're seeing that would go into a smart city economy?
Well, you're kind of hit on it again a little bit. You know, I've had an opportunity to tour some manufacturers in the state of Georgia that are part of bringing this to life for the not only the state but the country, and the gunshot vector technology where you can have a kiosk or a map on like in your mall or even on a campus like the University of Georgia campus, for example, where there may be sensing devices out there that can detect something like a gunshot and be able to instantly start vectoring people away from danger and basically communicate with the population that's in that immediate area on what to do, where to go. And those are the types of things that I'm excited about, to be able to facilitate a safer environment for people because of the smart technology that you can put somewhere where you wouldn't even know it exists, but it's there when you need it.
So, John, recently you interviewed Andrew Saunders, and I know y'all didn't talk about this in a smart city context, but...
Betcha he's thinking about it.
But would... Yeah. Are there things that have to do with water that fit into a smart city economy?
That's a good question.
That device they had at night that sensed how much water you were using and communicating back to the mothership this house may have a leak? I mean, would that be a smart
city? Well, that's right. They actually have a sensor at my house that alerts me if there's a flood down in the basement. Yeah, I mean, so it just would alert me via a text message if there's a flooding situation in the basement. You could also do the same on your water line to determine if there is actual usage.
Yeah, Dr. Tidwell?
We're also doing research and looking at how we can bring knowledge of these same kinds of technologies out to rural areas, thinking about things like water and moisture sensing on farms and teaching farmers how to do the coding and sensor building to really
Don't
think
run
about
the sprinkler while the front's coming in.
Exactly. Yeah. Things like that. Or when it's actually necessary to turn that irrigation system on.
Well, it's not just farms. It's the commercial building you drive by that in the middle of a frickin' rainstorm is running their sprinkler system.
True.
And you just want to pull your hair out, and it's not even your water bill. You know, that kind of thing.
Patrick, do you think, and you obviously retiring from DOD, and reaching out to them and trying to sell products now, do you feel like that DOD and our military will be adopting similar smart city technologies on bases, or you know, in theater as we move forward?
I think so, and some of it may already be there. It's just not widely advertised. But we're always looking for ways to make our bases more effective and more efficient. And it may be from advanced technology at the security gate, the main gate to enter a base, or even at the shopping center area. There may be some smart city technologies that are coming to now that are cost effective, that are affordable, that makes it smart for our airmen, our soldiers, our Marines, our sailors, to get around the base and have a more efficient, effective process. It may be connectivity with the Child Development Center. It may be connectivity with the on-base lodging and things that make it more smart so that the day-to-day operations of a base are more effective and overall more cost-effective.
And one evolution we're seeing to that point in lighting is that we're seeing these built in actually to the light bulb itself. So on my smartphone right now, I can hit a button and turn off a light bulb from the light bulb. Not just from the switch, not just from the power source, but the actual light bulb itself, not the fixture even. So when you can micro down to the little chip, a little sensor that grabs the thing off your phone and is already listening to the Wi-Fi, and all those, it's a mesh network around the city or around your home, and one pole talks to the next pole, talks to the next pole, talks to the next pole, as my friend in the IT business said, who's my mommy? Where's my mommy? Where's my mommy? Where's my mommy? And each fixture says, where's my mommy? And so they're all talking to one another, and you can control pole 68, or in your case, the bedroom light or the living room light from your phone, or have them all talk, hey, guess what? The boss just got home. He's walking in the door. And a sequence of lights begins to turn on. All these things can happen thanks to smart technology, which in a city application is, you know, around cars or emergency vehicles or people on the sidewalk.
You know, at our NARUC conference, which stands for the National Association of Regulated Energy Commissioners, we have had sessions about smart cities and IoT. And, you know, we had a number of, you know, communication companies sit at the panel and tell us that, you know, by 2025, there would be an average of, I think, 32 connected devices per home. And I was sitting there going, no way. This was 3 years ago. There's no way you could have 30-something things connected. But, I mean, if you have one single light bulb that you can turn off, that's a connected device.
Yeah.
That's one.
Sure, that's right.
Right. So, yeah, Patrick. Oh,
you're also starting to see this smart city technology start really go into the logistics of everything. So my background in the Air Force is as an aircraft maintenance officer. And so I was responsible for sustainment of aircraft, and that comes with supply. And so there's warehousing involved. There's pieces, parts. And
what's in, what's
internet,
out.
Right. The Internet of Things is weighs very heavily now and is becoming more and more of a reality in the efficient management of components and commodities, and to the point where pretty soon here you'll have augmented reality with goggles where you can scan an RFID of a handful of items on a shelf and know that once you've hit a certain point, I've got to get to ordering some more of fill in the blank so that I can sustain my aircraft properly.
That's pretty
so
cool.
It's the Internet of Things is here, and it's going to make the I'm biased, the Air Force, even more so the best Air Force on the planet as a result of Internet of Things.
And the Space Force.
Yeah, and I guess drones a part of that?
Of course, I would think, so it's smart. I mean, you're conducting a mission from across the planet in the back of a flatbed trailer. You know, it's amazing what we're doing with sensors and sensor technology and being able to conduct missions with pinpoint accuracy from across the globe. It's incredible what we're able to do.
And I guess, as in a lot of cases, the military develops something and it eventually migrates to the private sector, right? So drone technology, maybe that the military, you know, did R&D own, will eventually deliver packages to our house.
That's right. That's right.
I hope so.
But all those things do open up other problems or things that we have to be careful about, like cybersecurity and things
That.
So lots of blessings, but then at the same time, lots of other things that we have to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that voice you're hearing, Dr. Jackie Tidwell from the University of Georgia, Patrick Ballard, another UGA alum and colonel, retired colonel from the Air Force, and, of course, my co-host, John Noel. John, when we come back, I'm just intrigued by this whole IoT thing, and I just want us to keep going on it one more segment, because I think it is something people are fascinated with, and it's something that this upcoming generation has a lot of experience with. So stick around. We're going to continue to talk about smart cities, the Internet of Things, and how your whole life is going to be connected here in the next 5 or 10 years. I'm Tim Eccles. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Creative Solar USA is a Georgia-based turnkey installer of innovative solar panel systems. They're dedicated to energy solutions for both your home and business. With their NABCEP certified installers, they ensure their clients receive the highest quality of solar energy systems in the industry. Contact CSUSA today at 770-485-7438 or go to creativesolarusa.com.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Energy and Environment.
Welcome back to Energy Matters. I'm Tim Eccles, your host. My co-host, as always, former State Representative John Noel. John?
Sir.
And in the studio with us, Dr. Jackie Tidwell from the University of Georgia.
Nice to be here.
And Patrick Ballard, a UGA grad, colonel, retired from the U.S. Air Force, and doing a lot in sustainability. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I want to kick this session off. And by the way, at the end of this, we're going to pop open a Yerba Mate energy drink. I may not be saying that right, but you can get them at Trader Joe's and Jittery Joe's. And I met the guy at an EV charging station, and we were charging our cars together. And he said, "Hey, let me give you a case of this and share it with your studio guest." And so I've never tried one. This will be the first time. So I don't need much of an energy drink to live my life.
No.
Yeah. So
I'm
just going to touch it to my tongue.
It'd be dangerous for either one of us, actually.
Let's kick this segment off, Dr. Tidwell, and remind us what a smart city is. I know folks are hearing about this, but what is the definition?
Yeah, so the definition of a smart city is typically an urban area, but it could really be any, you know, city or town or defined space, a warehouse, what have you, that brings together different types of Internet of Things technologies. So bringing together information, communication, and physical devices and sensors in order for us to make better decisions, be more efficient, and just perform our work and live our lives more effectively in some ways.
You know, I have a colleague, he's 80, Commissioner Bubba McDonald. A lot of folks know him, and he's really been a key driver in solar in Georgia. But he often introduces himself by saying he's a number two pencil in a dot-com world. And it's kind of how he introduces himself. And I remember we were sitting in the House Gallery, John, where you used to serve, listening to the State of the State address by former Governor Deal, and I was live tweeting, okay? I had President Jerry Moorhead sitting on my right, and he and I were taking selfies and tweeting them out, but Commissioner McDonald, he took me aside afterwards and he said, "Tim, it was very rude for you to be on your device." And I said,
"He's a very polite man."
And I said, "But Commissioner, I was live tweeting." He said, "What's that?"
I love it.
Yeah,
I love
so,
it.
I
love it.
But
I love
older
it.
People, I think they get annoyed, Patrick, when we're on our devices, and they feel like things are too connected, but the world is moving in this direction, isn't it? And we just have to embrace it.
It certainly is. I mean, just for example, I haven't been to the radio station before. And so here I am in my truck with my cell phone, and Google Maps direct me where to go. I mean, it's almost an attachment of your body, an extension of your body, whether you're communicating with friends you haven't seen since high school, or it's trying to find a place you've never been to before. I remember the days where you would look at the paper map in the book and try to figure it and then remember where you got to go. But now I'm so dependent on the Google Maps or whichever app. I know I could do it the other way, but it's so convenient.
It makes it to where I'm not in the same place or on the same road as you in order to help mitigate traffic. Thus, the smart city Internet of Things.
Yeah. How does that work, Dr. Tidwell? Are these phones, are folks connected to Google Maps? Or is it communicating with one another? How does that work?
So every time you open that app, that application, it is sending your information back to Google servers in exchange for you taking that information from them. Nothing is ever free, right? So that free, quote unquote, free app, you're exchanging your data and your information for it. And sometimes it's very benign and very, very fine in order to do that. And other times it's not so much. But in this situation, yes, Google is taking your location and other different characteristics of you from your phone.
And Patrick has a Fitbit on his arm. There's no telling what kind of data that collects. As Tim has a smartwatch, and I, Mr. Technology Guy, have no watch.
Yeah. So this smartwatch this iWatch, is that what you call it?
I think that's right.
The Apple Watch that I have is connected to my state healthcare program on my phone counts my steps and sends it to the mothership to determine whether I get my health incentive credit or not.
You get a health incentive credit?
Yes, we do.
We get a health incentive credit for coaching calls and for doing certain things to stay healthy.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, that's part of the, the state healthcare program.
All right. Well, there's something progressive the state's doing. This is surprising.
So let me ask you, Dr. Tidwell, does your connectivity annoy people in your life?
Ooh.
I won't say that it annoys them, but I do often find, and given my line of work and the research I do, which is at that intersection between technology and people, whether it's energy or whether it's having to do with water or food, I'm often having to go, please don't think I'm being rude. I'm looking at my watch because someone texted me about my daughter, or I'm getting a notification, but I'm with you. So I'm having to do a lot of extra non-digital accommodating for it. And so I tend to do that preemptively so that folks don't think I'm being rude, or I will blatantly turn my phone down when I know that it is something that matters to someone.
And I have 7 children, and if I am in a meeting with a small group like this, I'm not going to be looking at my phone. If I'm in a large meeting, a conference, I sit in the back.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly on the device. I'm tweeting.
Right.
I'm looking at this and that.
Right.
But there is this etiquette, that you have to get a hold of, or you can wind up offending people. John,
you're exactly right.
Does your connectivity offend people in your life?
Yes, I back in political days, I was constantly scolded for being on the phone and looking at things, and people would drone on in speeches and I just was like, I could be so much more productive right here. And you've got to realize that perception, the public perception, whether it's public perception or just or neighborly perception, just because it's more efficient and you're getting more things done doesn't mean that, you don't need to be off the phone. If you go overseas, it's a whole different ethic. I mean, people will be sitting next to you in a restaurant watching videos with the volume on, because that's the way people work overseas. And not, good Lord, you did that in the United States, you might get in a fight in a restaurant.
Yeah. Patrick, does your connectivity offend people in your life?
Well, it depends on who I'm sitting in front of. So I just hit 25 years with my wife this year, Stephanie, and it's been a great 25 years, but I have to pay attention to when I'm paying attention to her and when I'm not paying attention to her.
Right.
There is that. I've got 3 girls, 2 at the University of Georgia, as a matter of fact, and 1 at North Dakota High School, and they all have phones, and there are times when we're mindful of each other and put the phone down and when they're not. And then, of course, when I was commanding in the Air Force, and we had the obligatory anchor on the hip, which I've been carrying around a cell phone for a long time as part of the command structure, right? And so the the temptation to take a phone out where you can communicate and give direction to someone who is asking you a question who's not in the meeting, but a little quick, you know, 5 seconds here and there to answer yes or no question to someone in the middle of a meeting. It's very tempting to do that. You have, so there's some discipline that goes along with that too, to know when to go there and when not to go there. So,
you know, in this new digital economy, I have found that responding quickly to people, again, they're not in the same room with me, but regardless of the platform, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email, especially email, responding in a quick way to a person, you get brownie points for that. That people are used to getting this auto reply from politicians. You know, I get 1,000 emails. Dear constituent, I get 1,000 emails.
Hate that.
I'll try to get back with you within a week and let you know how I can help you.
Yeah. People hate that. Yeah, I do.
People hate that. Yeah. And, you know, the converse happens when I get back to them within, like, you know, within an hour, within a minute, you know, something like that. I mean, it is stunning. You know, it is stunning. I don't know that it wins, you know, any votes or anything like that, but it does cause people to feel like you're listening to them and you care about their issue, especially if you can help them.
I care about IoT, man. I think this is we're going to have to delve into this in future episodes too. This is the big issue that's coming forward, and the technologies available, the options available, are all things that we're all going to have to be looking forward to talking more about. Jackie, you probably have thoughts on that.
Well, not just the devices themselves, but also the energy that they require, and having to anticipate and manage those.
Did
and
you
then
say energy?
I did.
Yeah, you think about, you know, these server farms that you were mentioning. We are getting a lot of these server farms in Georgia, and I don't know much about the capacity of these things in terms of the data. I know about the electricity they use, but it seems like that more and more states are being called on by Facebook, Google, Microsoft. Hey, we want to put a server farm there. It's got an 80 megawatt load. We need an 80 megawatt backup. I mean, is that because, Dr. Tidwell, that we're using information and they have to, you know, they have to have server farms to service these things? Or
I think it's the cloud. I think it's the cloud that's blowing up, and more of our data is being stored on the cloud versus
our computers.
Those
server farms are your cloud.
Yeah, and also referred to as data centers. Some people might have heard them as called as data center. Server farms is just a frank term of what they are, but data center is probably a sexier way of saying it's holding your data, and it isn't in your computer anymore, and it isn't on your iPhone.
Well, great discussion.
We're gonna
have an energy drink here. I'm gonna pop this open. I'm not gonna have much. I just want a half an ounce. You each take a little swig of this as we wrap up. I'm gonna take a little sip of this yerba mate, and what flavor is that? That's a revel berry.
Revel berry.
That's pretty good. I mean, I'm not a big energy. We're passing it around, folks. And the thing I like about, and you're going to hear this in the next segment, is that their service rep drives an electric vehicle. So, you know,
it's a tea.
Mm-hmm. It's a tea. I'm a Coke guy. It's hard for me to switch.
It's a tea from Latin America.
It is a tea from Latin America.
All right, it's organic, so that's good.
Yeah,
you had me at organic.
Yeah. Anyway, you try this, folks. Let us know. We're gonna pop a photo of this on our Matters Radio feed. John, you're at
New Energy Guy,
and I'm at Tim Eccles. So thanks for listening to Energy Matters. Have a great day, and we hope that energy does matter.
Yum.
I'm Tim Eccles.
Tim Eccles here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over Georgia. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. The folks there understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work, from tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation. They'll unpack it all. They've been in business for over 25 years. To find out more, go to solarsunworld.com. That's solarsunworld.com.
Hey, it's Commissioner Tim Eccles, host of Energy Matters. I want to tell you about Kevin Rowe and Rowe Insulating Company. If you need insulation anywhere within 60 miles of Athens, Georgia, you need to call 706-795-2000. 2854. It's important, isn't it, John?
It is the most important thing you can do in your house.
It's the low-hanging fruit of everything that we talk about on Energy
right.
Matters every single week.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, call 706-795-2854. That's 706-795-2854. Rowe Insulating Company.
Get comfortable.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Energy and Environment.
This half hour of Energy Matters is sponsored by Energy and Environment. Energy and Environment's commercial, industrial, and government efficiency contracting services lower utility bills for their customers. And we talk a lot about that on Energy Matters. They specialize in custom lighting, retrofit solutions, and a lot of other stuff. Energy and Environment brings over 20 years of experience to your place of work. See what they can do for you at Energy and Environment. Spell out the word energyandenvironment.com. I got Logan Booker, my producer, in the studio. Logan, I have a chance to talk to a lot of people about electric vehicles and really all things alternative fuel. And coming up in just a second is an interview I actually did with a guy while I was getting my car charged at the Georgia Power Station in Athens over behind their building, a guy named Donovan, who was driving an identical Bolt. But you've seen all these electric cars around town, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. They're something I'm intrigued by. Honestly, don't know much about, but yeah, they're fascinating.
You know, they've really gotten a whole lot better. When I took office in 2011, there were four cars that had a plug that you could plug in. Today, there's 48 of them.
Is so that
right? That's a 12x increase. So you see where things are going with this. And this Chevy Bolt that I've been driving, it goes about 250 miles, which, man, back when I had that Nissan Leaf, that thing on a good day would get 90. So you're talking about boosting your range from 90 to 258. That is a huge comfort level of difference.
When you charge your car, how long does it take to actually go from, say, an empty fuel cell to a full fuel cell?
Yeah, if you have a small fuel cell like a Nissan Leaf, it only takes you about 25 minutes. But the bigger the fuel cell you have, the longer that it takes on the same size charger. So that the Bolt, where I wind up interviewing Donovan, it took me about an hour to charge. So that's a pretty long time. That's a long leisurely meal if you
right.
happen to stop at a restaurant. For me, I park there, interview Donovan, I walk down to Dunkin' Donuts, walk back, you know, and by then I had the charge I needed. So it's really cool. Take a listen to Donovan and some of the stuff that he's doing with this energy drink that he has, and we're passing the energy drink around to everybody in the studio for them to kind of taste it and see what they think. I'm not a big energy drink guy. I'm a coffee guy, but hey, I'm going to try his energy drink and see if it works. So enjoy the interview.
We interrupt this episode of Energy Matters to take you outdoors.
On the road again.
Hey, this is Commissioner Eccles with Energy Matters on the Road, and I am here with Donovan, actually at a Georgia Power fast charger in Athens, Georgia. He works for Yerba Mate. What is Yerba Mate?
Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated herb from South America. It has the effects of caffeine, but without the negative aspects of the caffeine, as such as the jitters and the downside. And it's a natural herb, and we are basically here trying to push an alternative for caffeine. And it has 15 vitamins and minerals and 24 amino acids.
Well, I'm talking to you because you're driving a Chevy Bolt, an electric vehicle, and we promote electric vehicles on our show, Energy Matters. Let me ask you, why is Yerba Mate being carted around in a Chevy Bolt?
Because we want to give back to the environment. We want to basically bring down the emissions. We want to regenerate our energy, just like our drinks, just like regenerating the lives of people who have been disenfranchised, and we're trying to give back.
So you told me you're going to be driving this car to Birmingham tomorrow. How does the Bolt perform for you out there on the highway?
It performs excellent. I can get up to 300 miles on a charge. The fast charge is awesome. In one hour, I can get about 180 miles of charge. And the car is efficient, has a lot of torque. It's a very, very good car. Handles well.
I'm going to take a picture of you in your car and put it on our Twitter feed, Matters Radio, for those to be able to see the car. So
when you decided to get the car, what were some of the questions that you asked and you thought about and evaluated, because you're traveling on the road a lot?
The company is about durability. That's important. We want something that is regenerative, good on mileage, all right, good range, and also be able to handle the load of maybe average of about 70 to 100 cases of our drinks.
Well, I see bottles and I see cans, and you've given me a couple, and we're gonna pass them around the studio and see if it'll wake up some of our hosts, because we have an early morning show. So is there any recommendations on drinking this beverage, with ice, without, lukewarm? What do you suggest?
I prefer chilled. Okay, I don't prefer ice. I like mine chilled, and it can be drunk anytime. It's a caffeine alternative. Okay, it's natural. It is caffeine, but it's an alternative to coffee. So you can drink it whenever it is that you feel like you want a little boost. You can drink it in the morning, evening, or some people drink it after 6.
You know, my co-host John Noel and a lot of other people in the state, they say I don't really need any additional caffeine because of I guess my energy. I'm known at the commission as the Energizer Bunny. So why should I be drinking yerba mate?
You need to be drinking yerba mate because of the vitamins and the minerals and the amino acids and the proteins and the natural component. All right? We are 100% organic. Everything is organic. It doesn't overpower you with a whole lot of flavor like how these artificial things go. If you're going to drink something healthy, man. That's it.
Well, let me ask you a couple more questions about sustainability. And we promote energy efficiency on our show. We promote doing things like insulation in your attic and making sure your home is very tight. Are there things that you guys have talked about at your company or things that you've done in your own personal life in order to conserve or to save energy or to be a better steward?
Yes. Adopting an electric car is one of the first things that we're doing. Okay? The energy efficiency of the car, the emissions, you know, and I know that with all the changes going on, the air that we breathe, we're trying also to be as conservative as we can in even the driving of the vehicle. You know, we try to make sure that we are efficient in how we route, how we pack, and how we drive.
You know, we talk about how EVs teach you about the value of energy.
Yes.
This is something that I've said all along, that if low-income folks in our state understood, and really this goes for anybody, but especially folks that have a little bit tighter budget and a little bit less cash flow, if they understood and they can get this knowledge through going on the Georgia Power prepay app, because you're constantly getting text messages about your balance in the same way you and I are looking at our Bolt, in terms of the dashboard and seeing how many more miles that we can drive. Do you find yourself now thinking more about energy and more about efficiency now that you drive an electric car than before you did?
Yes, I do, sir. And I tell you this, I don't even drive with the AC on, all right, because I'm trying to conserve energy. I don't accelerate hard, okay, and I drive it on the regenerative mode where when you slow down, naturally it powers the battery. So just because of I know the worth and the time that it takes to regenerate this car and charge the battery, I drive very conservative. I drive below the speed limit, to be honest with you. So yes, it has it's shown me in a more worldly way the reality of conserving energy.
We often joke on the radio show about how inconvenient it is to drive an electric car, because you have to kind of plan things out.
Yes.
And you drive slow and you don't run the air condition. And I do all that. I understand that. Nothing wrong with it, but it's just one of the things that you learn from driving an EV. What else has driving an EV taught you, or how has it impacted your interaction with people?
Well, first and foremost, that's a great question, sir. A lot of people out here they want to be a part of the movement. They want to save the earth. They want to regenerate the earth. They want to bring about a positive change in the environment. And when they see that you're on board and that you're taking small steps or medium steps or even giant steps, you meet people just as I met you. The car is a seller. It's not me. You are attracted to this car. And look, we're bonding now. So this thing has opened up a lot of doors for networking. Even Mr. Epstein, once I mentioned the name, hey, you know Mr. Epstein. So it is phenomenal keychain. Okay, once I put the keychain on, everybody knows it. Okay.
BMW, who Steve Epstein works for, is one of our show sponsors. Mm-hmm. And Mohsen is the seller of more used electric vehicles down in Union City, which you'll probably drive past going to Alabama. He's the seller of more used electric cars than any dealer in town. So we're really excited that you met Steve, because he is an EV evangelist, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And we've been playing phone tag. I have to get back with him, but I'm definitely going to call him within the next 2 days just to let him know that our interaction and what have you. Yes, I'm glad. I'm meeting all type of interesting individuals since I've gotten this Chevy Bolt.
And I don't know if it'll surprise you, and I'm putting you on the spot here, in part really to kind of gig my co-host, John Noel, who's a staunch Democrat and a very left-leaning guy. Would it surprise you if I told you that I'm a Republican, that I have 7 children, that I've homeschooled my kids, and that I'm driving an electric car?
I'd be very surprised. I'm very surprised at that, but I'm impressed too. Okay, and that's one of the beauties of meeting people. It doesn't matter how you meet them. It's important that we meet, that we talk. And one of the things that was said before by a Democrat, once we start to talk, we're going to realize that we have more things that bring us together than things that separate us.
That's right. We're going to leave it at that. That is a great thought. And folks, let's just be nicer out here. Let's get to know our neighbors and see how we can bless other people. This is Tim Echols, and this is Energy Matters on the Road.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit. And the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Echols and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.